Well, it's that time of year again, isn't it? First of the year, New Year's resolutions. We got to get in shape. Well, for me, getting in shape was losing the 12 pounds I gained between Thanksgiving and Christmas. So, you know, I've gotten that far. Whether I'll go any further, I'm not sure. But I'll tell you one thing. I probably sweated off 5 already wearing this thing under a robe. What is it about New Year's resolutions and our health? You know, I feel really good about this new year. I'm really a lot more upbeat than I was 30 days ago. I'm sure the weather's helping instead of it being dark and gloomy. And I'm very upbeat about life, the church, just about everything. And, you know, I'm thinking, well, you know, I know I need to lose some weight. You know, when I look in the mirror, I'm not real happy with myself. I don't know if others of you do that, or, you know, sometimes I just avoid mirrors. You know, that's one way to deal with it. And thank goodness Jane and I have been long enough that she doesn't ask, do I look fat in this? Because there ain't no way you can win answering that question, honestly. And you know, I just hate those kinds of questions. But we've been married long enough, she just doesn't ask that. And I'm glad. But why don't we stick to those things? You know, if we realize we're not as healthy as we ought to be, we have too much weight or too high cholesterol, which is true, you could be slim and still have high cholesterol and other kind of problems, and I need to do this and I need to do that. What is it about us that just doesn't hang in there for the long run? Well, first of all, it takes a big commitment. And in a busy life, it takes time. We've got to order our lives in a certain way, right? We've got to set aside time. So that means somehow we have to manage the other time we have better. And I don't know about you, but that's difficult. Especially if I want to lose weight, eating out's pretty much the worst thing I can do. There was something in the paper not long ago about, you know, the difference between, you know, the double thick burger and the double beef whopper and the double cheeseburger type thing at McDonald's. And, you know, like the Hardee's thing was like a whole day's calories. You know, if you're talking about a pretty generous diet of a couple of thousand calories, you know, that just shot your whole day, boy. You just save up, and that's your day's calorie. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, where do you stop and get something healthy? Where do you go and get vegetables anymore? Man, that's hard. So it's time-consuming. It's inconvenient. And, you know, I just find it kind of painful to have to reorder my life that way. So I get lazy. But is God well pleased with me today? I don't think so. I'm not taking care of this temple the way I should. But you know, there's other areas of my life that I can ask the question, how well pleased is God with me? What about my relationships? Hate to go there. Yeah, a lot of stuff, a lot of work I need to do in relationships. How about my spiritual disciplines, my spiritual life? Well, thank goodness, lately I've been pretty good there. But I still long for a deeper walk with God. I'm still longing, and I'd really like to have one of those great, wonderful experiences you read about. And when I was reading my devotionals the other day, you know, it sometimes doesn't help for somebody to write and share this wonderful thing where the power of God came over them in this moment that just totally transformed their lives. Their hearts was changed, and they went forward loving everybody and just filled with so much love. And I said, Lord, I need that. I really need that. And I keep saying, you know, what do I have to do better, Lord, to be closer to you, to have that? I know you want me to have that kind of love for everybody. And, you know, I find it hard to love some people. But, you know, sometimes I find it hard to even love me. I don't think God's very well pleased with that. What about my attitudes? That's an area we don't want to go, right? What about our thought life? You know, we don't really tell anybody. We don't really express it, so nobody else gets on it. But don't you just hate some of the things that go through your mind? How well is God pleased with me? You see, after Jesus was baptized, the scripture in Matthew tells us when he came out of the water, the heavens opened up. And he saw descending like a dove. And he heard a voice saying, this is my son with whom I am well pleased. What would God say about his pleasure with you and me today? I was doing a pastoral profile for the district superintendent and the new bishop. It's funny, the bishop, the district superintendent was telling me this the other day when I met with him. He said the cabinet was meeting, and he said, you know, I want those profiles because I'm going to read every church and every minister's. And, you know, they tried to tell him, well, there's 800 and some churches and 500 and some pastors. You sure you want to undertake that? Do you realize how big a stack of paper? But you know, I kind of think maybe this bishop will. And one of the areas on that profile was, what are your strengths and what are your weaknesses? And I had to look at that. And I realized that one of my weaknesses is I don't feel like I witness enough for Jesus Christ. I mean, you know, I stand up here every Sunday and I work in the church and I'm in all these things. But I'm talking about one-to-one witness, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And it was kind of odd. That's what I was writing Monday. And Thursday, a neighbor dropped by. A man that is really nice, appears to be so sensitive and caring, has so much potential. You know, I've asked him probably dozens of times to come to church. And he came by and was going through difficulties. And it got down to the point where we got to talking about God, and he talked about struggling with God and why he was going through what he could and whether he had the strength to deal with it. And I was able to witness to him about the grace of God. I was able to share with him. You know, I'm proud to be a United Methodist because John Wesley said there's a prevenient grace working in our lives. That God's grace is working in our lives when we don't even realize God's working in our lives. Because God's trying to draw us to Him. And a lot of things we attribute to luck and fortune are God's grace. Prevenient, the grace that goes before. That God is trying to reel us in and bring us closer to Him. And he talked about all of these things. And I knew he had been in an accident where his car rolled over twice 3-4 weeks ago. I said, that was the grace of God. And we started talking about some other times where the grace of God was operative in his life. I said, but John Wesley says, you know, grace gets you on the porch. A lot of people don't have porches anymore. I guess you get you on the stoop or you get you on the top step. But then there's saving grace. There's a door there. And saving grace gets you through that door. And when you go through that door, you start a wonderful, wonderful new life. And he says, I want a better life, but I just don't know how to get God really into my life. And I said, you know, that's the easiest part. That's absolutely the easiest part. I said, all you got to do is invite him and knock on that door, and he'll open the door. I said, how well do you think you've done managing your life this far? He says, not that well. What are the prospects of your mind figuring out how to have a better life? He said, I don't think it's too high. I said, do you want to try this door? Do you want to believe in a God that loves you so much he's been working on you all your life to get you to this point? I said, God sent you over here this morning rather than any other morning. God had a purpose in your coming here. I said, do you want a better way of life? And do you want to know that God that's been drawing you into and through his grace all these many years? And he said, yeah. And I said, pray after me. And I led him through a prayer. We talked about some of the things he was struggling with his family and in his personal life, and his hopes and his dreams. And he accepted Jesus into his life. He confessed his sins. He knew he was helpless. And he wanted someone who was willing to show him the way. And that's what I told him. I said, Jesus sent his son into the world to experience life just like us, so he could lead us to the kind of life he had before he came into this world. That's what he did in Scripture this morning. He had no need to be baptized from a worldly point of view, but he wanted to identify with us in every way possible to show his love. And God was so pleased with him for doing that. God was so pleased when you gave your life to Jesus. But you know, John Wesley said there's one more kind of grace. And this is another part I'm proud to be Methodist. Because see, a lot of people get inside the door and get in that first room and say, hey man, this is nice. You know, God's invited me in here. Not only did I get through this door, but I got a doorway to heaven. But we've already talked about that. You know, you're going to be in the cheap seats, or you're going to be right down front where the action is. Well, you know, some people get all hepped up on salvation. That's all they talk about. And yet they live in that first room they go into. Jesus said, my Father's house has many mansions. I believe God intends us to just keep going through doors and going through rooms spiritually till the day we die. And that's a good thing. Because no matter how many rooms we've gone through, no matter how comfortable we've gotten in God's presence and all he shows us as we go through room and room and room and through door and door and door, we can't ever look down at our noses at somebody else on their journey because we hadn't made it to perfection. and we want until we're dead and gone and with Jesus. How many of us is God so disappointed in because we came into one little room and we've just been comfortable to stay there? And there are other doors in that room, but we hadn't been willing to knock on them or walk through them. We hadn't been willing to see that we move from glory to glory because we just want to stay in our nice little comfortable place. God's asking us to think, how pleased is my Heavenly Father with me? When He greets us in the kingdom, will He say, "This is my son. This is my daughter with whom I am well pleased"? Only you and He can answer that question. Let us pray. Oh, Father, we want to do what is pleasing in Your sight. We need a workout, not just physically, but in every area of our lives, that we might be holy and acceptable to Thee. Give us the strength. Give us the courage. Give us the discipline. Help us to commit ourselves to be pleasing to You. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.